Today we want to think on the subject, walk worthy of God. And our key verses are 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now in these two verses, we see the past, the present, and the future. And we're going to take that backwards. We're going to start with the future and go forward. First of all, the future. In the last part of verse 12, we read, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The emphasis is on what God has done and will do for us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I think back when I was a kid on the farm. At dinner time, regardless of what we were working at, once dinner time came, we would hear the call, "Dinner's ready!" And we left our work and went to the house to eat. The work we were doing varied, of course, but whether it was hard or dirty or easy, regardless of what it was, we left it and went to the house to eat. And Mom usually had meat and potatoes and gravy and vegetables and salad and dessert for our meal. Now, spiritually, before we were saved, we were in our sin. We were under Satan's control, doing the best we could, but we were doomed for an awful hell. And then we heard God's call, and Scripture gives us a number of calls. In Isaiah chapter 1, 18, we read, "Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And then again we read in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And when we responded to that call and left our cruel master, who is Satan, and under the sin-sick condition, and are doomed, hopeless condition, and when we came to Jesus Christ and received him as our Savior, we came for rest and peace and satisfaction and release from our guilt and forgiveness of sin, and we came for hope. And since then, we've been feasting at the banquet table, so to speak, of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. In Revelation 3:20, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." But not only is there the present banquet of fellowship that we enjoy when we receive Christ as our Savior, one day he's going to take us home to heaven, to his kingdom, and there we shall abide with him for all eternity. We shall experience his glory and his beauty and his wonder, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so when we were saved, we were called from sinfulness to sinlessness or perfection. We are called from hopelessness to hope. We are called from sorrow and sadness to eternal joy. We were called from a life of trouble to eternal peace, and from spiritual darkness to eternal light. And we were called from where we experience pain and suffering to a place where we will have perfect wholeness. He called to us one day in order that we might enjoy His kingdom and His glory forever and ever. And that's the future. Now, secondly, we see the present. And notice the first part of verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God. Down through the years, it has been important to be loyal to one's country or family or church or organization we might work for. You might hear statements like, act like an American, or act like a soldier if you've been in the military, or act like royalty, or act like an alumnus of FBBC, Faith Baptist Bible College, if you're an alumni like I am. In other words, conduct yourselves in such a manner that you will not be an embarrassment to and bring shame to our country or our family or our church or organization we are work for. Conduct yourselves in such a manner that we can proudly hear the words, "He's our boy," or "He belongs to us," or "He's one of our men," or "one of our women." That ought to be even truer of a Christian. We don't belong to some second-rate kingdom or to a person filled with flaws and shortcomings. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is, Scripture says, the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world, the living water, the bread of life, who is love, and who is our peace, and our righteousness, and our wonderful Savior, who has called us out of darkness into His kingdom and glory, which one day we shall enjoy forever and ever. Our life should honor Him, should be loyal to Him, and speak well of Him. We should not live in such a way as to bring shame and embarrassment to the Lord. But we should live in such a way that should He speak audibly, as He did on the Mount, as God did to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where He said to the disciples, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we should want to hear that. "This is my beloved child, and I'm well pleased with him," or with her. Now, Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians 1:10, "Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And then thirdly, we see our past in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Now, Paul did three things to these believers. He encouraged them, he comforted them, and he challenged them. And remember that these believers were experiencing much persecution. So he encouraged them to lift their spirits. And when there's opposition and resentment against us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, it's easy to get discouraged and feel like giving up. And Paul reminded these believers of God's sustaining grace and his promises, and he encouraged them to cast their cares upon him and to trust in him and to keep their eyes upon the Lord. And then he comforted them, and that means to cheer them in sorrow and to help ease the heaviness in their hearts. They were hurting, and Paul comforted them through his presence, through understanding what they were going through, and encouraged them. And then he also charged them, which means he challenged them and he urged them. Under such conditions that they were going through, a person can complain and can get angry or become bitter or seek revenge. And Paul challenged them to rise above these human ways and live like God wanted them to live. Don't bring embarrassment upon the cause of Christ through such attitudes and actions. Instead, respond as Christ would have us respond. In 1 Peter 2:21, we read, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." So Paul encouraged them and comforted them and challenged them. And he did so as a father would his own children, as we see in chapter 2, verse 11. There was love and there was tenderness and there was a caring spirit with the Apostle Paul. And we should exhibit this same caring attitude toward one another and seek to help each other, and especially if they're a friend or someone we know or care for is going through some real problems, our desire should be to encourage them and to comfort them and to challenge them to remain true to the Lord. Let's remember what lies ahead for us. We who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, one day are going to go home to heaven. And whether it's through death now, or whether it's through the rapture of the church, when we hear that shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God blow and we're changed and caught up to meet Christ in the air and are taken to stand before the throne of God. And we want to live in such a way and live lives worthy of the Lord so that when we stand before him, we will have his approval. We will hear the words that we read in Matthew 25:21. Well done.